Turn to Job there in the second chapter. And Sister Job, shall we call her, said, curse God and die. What you doing here? What's wrong with your integrity? What are you trying to do anyway? Trying to prove something? Now, my wife said, you need to look up that in the Greek, in the Strong's. You know, there's three kinds of concordances. The crudes are for the crude. The youngs are for the young. And the Strong's are for the Strong's. Guess which one I have. I got the youngs too, of course. Yeah. But she said, curse God and die. And when I looked that word up, cursed, in the dictionary or the concordance, what did it say? But bless. One of the definitions of that word curse is bless. The word is Barak. Does that sound familiar? A former president? That was his first name, wasn't it? Barak. Yeah. Bless, to bless. Now, I don't think that she was trying to bless her husband. I do take the curse side of it there. But man alive, she didn't mean to be that way. She was a caregiver, just like these folks are. Just like my wife was for two times now. I got sick, and it just about killed her. She was a caretaker. What was she doing? She was fixing food for him and the four doubting or ones that were trying to prove that he was sinning. And three of them had to apologize at the end. And she was really taken advantage of. And you know what he had the guts to say? Now, how many of you guys, after I say this, tell me, raise your hand if you dare say this to your wife. You're one of those foolish women. I don't see any hands. I know what my wife would do if I did. She said if I ran around, she's going to shoot me. Well, she had to entertain her brothers and sisters, his brothers and sisters, and all the friends that came to visit. She didn't have kids anymore. You know, it affects women more than men, I believe, when you lose 10 kids. I mean, that's a lot of childbirth. Yeah. And I don't know if it was later on that she delivered the other 10 or if it was some other wife, but maybe God pulled a Sarah on her and she was able to have 10 kids a little bit older in life. But I just wanted to spend 5 minutes here talking about her and that she was doing these things and helping. We've got a lot of people today that are wonderful caregivers, and we thank God for them. Lot was sitting there in the ashes, scraping himself with, what's the word again? Potsherd. I had to look that one up. I have pastored and preached all my life, but I still had to look that up and knew approximately what it was. But it was broken clay things. It was like dishes. You have a broken dish, and you take it and scrape off those pussy spoils. How's your stomach tonight, okay? I mean, with creepy little animals on there. Are you still with me? Huh? Look at this now. She was a caregiver. She was sweating it out day after day, cooking those meals and doing all that. She didn't have a bunch of servants. They were broke. And he says, you sound like one of those wicked or worldly or foolish women. If I'd been there, I'd probably punched him in the nose. No, I wouldn't. But it's amazing how those three tried to convince him that he had sinned. But God knew. They didn't know a thing about what was going up in heaven, where Satan was coming in there and talking to God. And God was saying, have you seen? Have you seen this good man? He's living for God. Well, it wasn't very sanitary what he's going through. And I was reading about the weather in Palestine, and It hardly ever snows or anything, so the weather is okay. Maybe she just left him out inside there in the ashes during the nighttime. They were there for 7 days, remember, and didn't say a word. That was the custom on that day you had to honor that person that was bereaved, and so you didn't say anything till they said anything. Seven cotton-picking days. Seven. Oh, sure, they ate something and everything. Lot had to be busy doing all that, washing the dishes. How did they wash the dishes in the old? This is around Abraham's time, about 4,000 years ago. Thank God for caretakers or caregivers. We've got some over at our wonderful home where you work, Hillcrest home, and I thank God for those in their 20s. They'll sacrifice 15, 20, 25, I don't know how many months they do come, and they get a whole $5 a day, not an hour, a day for doing that. At the end of the month, I ask them what they do, and they write out two checks to them. Is this right, Ryan? Correct me if I'm wrong. They sign both those checks, and one is for $5 a day. And the big check goes to missions. Isn't that wonderful? That's marvelous. You couldn't get them into Walmart doing that, could you? Caregivers are so important. I just thank God for Lot. Let me just go quickly on to what I was going to preach on tonight. How much time have I got? Oh, I got lots of time. Yeah. Got time for prayer and everything else. So let's turn to Revelation, to the wonderful truths there. In Revelation, in the second chapter, in the 25th verse, in this translation it says, except that they hold right to what you have until I come. I'm sorry I didn't get that up on the board. I didn't even think about that until now. I goofed. Oh, it is up there? Well, praise God. Thank you so much. She's from Indiana. The Hoosier State. Wonderful gal. Stephanie. In this translation, it says, hold tightly to what you have till I come. King James says, hold fast. In these last days in which we don't know what's going to happen, if the rapture is going to come now, we do believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could come at any time. And I used to believe that in the 70s and the 80s. In fact, there was a book out that Jesus was coming in 1988. He didn't come, so the guy wrote another book. He's coming in 89. He didn't come then, so I don't know what happened to him, Brother Brian. But anyway, we know that Jesus is coming soon. There's a possibility of some, which the next world war, Grant Jeffries, if you don't have any Grant Jeffries books, you need to get some. And he brings out that possibly before the rapture, we'll have that third world war where Russia comes down and only 1/6 of them will be left. And blood will go to the bridles of the horse. I can't even imagine that. I mean, I've never seen any blood more than just a little tiny bit of it. And to have that much and to think that this could happen. But praise God, God's going to protect Israel. And just about the time they get into the city, he's going to wipe them out. And 83% of those millions of people are going to be instantly killed. 83% of them. There are only about one-sixth of them will be left. And it's going to take them how many years? So many months to clean up the mess. The bodies, and then going to take them 7 years to use up all the fuel and all the things that they had in their vehicles. And I know the Bible says it doesn't say wooden things, but those things, and we assume it was the old swords and their all their equipment of wood. But it's a different life we're living in now, different, not life, but different time, a different age. And so here we see that they are beaten down by God. God's wrath will come forth. And then there's going to be another one, Armageddon, but we won't get into that tonight. I just wanted to share with you about what John was doing. You know, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He had the audacity in being in that, cooped up in that island, rocky island, 50 miles out into the ocean, out into the sea, in the Mediterranean Sea and upper, that other sea that's right, goes up in between Greece and Turkey. And so he was there, and he had the audacity on the Lord's Day to praise the Lord. You know, we're supposed to gripe, aren't we, when things go wrong? Huh? Isn't that what you do first? If something happens, you start blaming God or blaming somebody. It's always somebody else's fault. But he was in on the Lord's Day. He was blessed of God. Praise God. Now, this apostle, of course, was... most of the apostles were martyred. But the Lord told him, Jesus told him he was going to live a long life. And he was somewhere around 90 or so, a lot older than I am. And in those days, they didn't live but 50, 60 years, most of them. And his brother was James, the one that was beheaded. And, you know, there's three or four James in the Bible. And... James, the brother of Jesus. Now, the Roman Catholics claim that Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters. If it was half ones from Joseph alone. Mary was so holy, she couldn't have any more children, see. And I'm not picking on the Catholics. I'm just saying that's what they have come up with. And then the Immaculate Conception, and then they go on and start worshiping Mary. Hail Mary, Mother of God, the Lord is with thee, and all these things. And that's why the Protestants were started, because of all those things and the indulgences and all the things that the Catholics did. So 500 years ago, that's what happened. Martin Luther got out there. I just about said Martin Luther King, but it's Martin Luther. Got up there and posted it on the door, and the Lutherans were started. Now, I was Maya would be a Lutheran today if my folks hadn't, if my mom couldn't have had children, and she was desperate after a few years to have children, and so God miraculously healed her, because she went up to it was a charismatic, do we dare say, a Pentecostal church in Winnipeg. They were homesteading up there in free land, about 10, 15 miles from there. Mom said after Ruth, my sister, was born, that she'd poke her hand down in there so there'd be air going down in it, because they were in the horse and the wagon, you know. And that took a long time to go that 10 miles. And they'd stay up there all day. But almost immediately after she was there, she was healed. And a year later, my sister came along in 1926. How many can remember that far back? All right. I can't. But there were five of us. My mom was, they were born to her after that, and she was 42 years old when I came. Poor thing. But we're thankful she wanted me. They wanted to have evangelists, and I was evangelist. We were evangelists for 4 years. God moved in a mighty way, and we saw a lot of souls saved, went all over many, many states here in the Middle West. But here is Paul, John, as he is trying to worship God. And he was worshiping him and praising him in that rocky old dungeon type of island where they put their prisoners. And he was, instead of griping, he was worshiping the Lord. Just think about that for a minute. What is your first reaction when something happens to you? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, come to think of it, my mom would do that. She just blew the socks off of some people. She's just, if something go wrong, she, well, praise the Lord. And she'd say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I heard that thousands of times. Oh, taste and see. That's King James. Oh, taste. Have you tasted it? Hallelujah. What the Holy Spirit has for you. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has great things to do. And to show you not only what you need to do, but show you future things. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I came down to the bookstore where my dad had managed for a few years from going to Bible school. Didn't finish my Bible school last semester, and came down there and helped my dad. He'd had flu, and whenever he'd bend up like this, and he'd get dizzy, and he'd have to lay down for a while. And so I helped out in the bookstore, and you know what happened? Some beautiful blonde came through those doors with red on. I love red. Anybody got red on tonight? A little off red. Arnold, you got red on, don't you, back there? Yeah, okay. And back here, yeah. She was the CA, we used to call it, Christ Ambassadors, from 12 to 35. I told somebody we're supposed to have it for teenagers, but now we're getting more people back there sometimes than we do here, and a lot of them are adults. I know they need a few of them to counsel with and be with them, but I'm thankful for that the Assemblies of God decided to put that for teenagers, junior high and high school kids, and it sure has helped down through these 30 or 40 years to do that. But anyway, she was the youth leader in her church, and she had the men do most of the stuff, but she was the leader. And she walked in there, and she asked me to preach for her service. Of course, I said yes. Came over there that night, and we rode in the back seat with somebody after the service. And seven weeks later, I asked her to marry me, and 7 months later, I married her. Amen. February 18th. 1959. Yeah, all right. You remember back there, don't you? Huh? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I haven't preached for quite a few years. Well, I'm a little nervous up here. Brother Thrasher had me on a Wednesday night or two, and I said, I'll just be the emergency man. In case you can't get Joan or somebody else to do it, I'll be the emergency man. So there wasn't too many emergencies that way. So praise God, praise God. I want you to know tonight that you are important. Amen. And John is saying here, he's saying, hold fast. That nobody will take your crown. Be careful that you will live for the Lord like God wants you to live. And trust God for the great things God has for us in these days. Hold fast or tightly until I come. And the Lord is saying that to us tonight, that we will hold fast and be faithful to the doctrines and the beliefs of our of Jesus Christ and live for God like He wants us to live. You're important to God. You're not just one of the billions of people around. You're something special. God would have died. Jesus would have died for you personally. Amen. We're made in His likeness. We're individuals. We're different from everybody else. Every one of us have a different DNA. Oh, thank God. God listens to every one of our prayers. If you're born again, God is with you. Praise the Lord. He's right there. In fact, one of His names is Emmanuel. I am with you. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 is quoted so often. I know your plans. I have for you, declared the Lord. And remember, this was to some people that had gone over to the other side of over the other side of the desert, over to Babylon in captivity. Daniel was in the first batch, and then Ezekiel went with the second batch a few years later, and then the third batch is when they Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple, and they by mistake threw something in the temple, or was that at the 78 AD? But anyway, one of those two times, there was so much gold in there that they pulled every one of the rocks aside. Now, I read that some of those rocks, I call them rocks, stones, there were 200 ton. The biggest ones they have in Egypt for the pyramids was about 40 ton. And these were in the 400. How they got them there, I don't know. They didn't have these big earth-moving things like they have today. But they were, God was really with them at that time, and it was 70 years. It was 70 years they had to be over in Babylon. And then God raised up Cyrus, and we're told that one of the men of the Jews went ahead and showed these scriptures, the writings of what was going to happen. And Sir Cyrus, you're the one that's going to do it. You're going to let us go. And you know, not only did he let them go, he protected them, brought the caravan with them, and he brought back all the golden vessels worth billions of dollars, trillions probably, and gave it back to the Jews. It's marvelous what he did. Thank God. Jeremiah says in 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope for the future." Oh, friends, God is not through with you. And he was saying that to them. He's not through with you. He's listening to you now. If you're crying out, if you're sick, God knows about it. He knows that what you're going through. He wants to heal you. It's not just always when we want it, is it? He's concerned about our problems and has an answer. So listen to him tonight. Trust in him. God's not short on anything. Not only long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but also he owns a lot of property. Do you know how much property he owns? We used to look up the stars and say, boy, there's hundreds of them up there. And then somebody said, oh, there's some. No, it can't be thousands. And then they said, oh, well, there's millions of stars. And now the Hubble telescope with their new telescope implanted in there, it tells us that there are billions of stars just in this universe. Now, there are black holes, just a few black holes out there. And we used to think that was stars caving in, burning out, and so it got black. Well, it just so happens that somebody said and started studying that, and I believe it's true, that each one of those black holes is an entrance that God has into another big universe like this, of billions of stars. Hey, those stars are, most of them, much larger than our sun. In fact, it takes so many light years for them to get here. Most of those stars we see now are burnt out. I don't know how God starts new ones, but anyway, it takes years and years and years for that light to come. Is it 52,000 miles an hour per minute? Wow. God has some beautiful universe out there. And you know, we're going to go from place to place. We'll think we'll be there and we'll be there. Amen? None of this old-fashioned rockets and planes and cars and everything. That'll be a thing of the past. We'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ here in the millennium for 1,000 years, and then we'll have a new heaven and an earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can you say amen? Boy, I got a few of you to say it in. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is so good. Praise the Lord. We so often doubt him. Yes, we do. But God wants to touch our lives. I want to just speak for a few more minutes and then give plenty of time for prayer. How many have heard of Stuart Hamlin? Is it before your time, most of you? There's one. Stuart Hamlin. It is no secret what God can do. He wrote that. He was working in a radio station, and they wanted him to advertise beer. He said, no way, Jose. No beer advertising. So they fired him. He couldn't get another job. And so his house was about to be foreclosed. In fact, the very day, he said, I heard him say it, the very day that they were going to take his house away, a check came for thousands of dollars from It Is No Secret What God Can Do. It hit the, you know, popularity, and people were singing it, and records and the sales and everything. And for the rest of his life, he was pretty old at that time, but for the rest of his life, he got hundreds of thousands of dollars in songs like This Old House and some of those other songs that he wrote. You see, God will take care of you if you stand up for him. Amen? If you'll trust him. Now, in a few minutes while you're coming for prayer, I want to sing We Shall Behold Him. This was Rita Rambo that wrote that. She got killed in a bus accident right up north of Branson just a few years ago while we're here. And wrote so many beautiful songs. And Sandy Patty. In fact, Sandy Patty was scheduled to be with my son for 30 different churches. Had their youth got together, had hundreds there, if not thousands. There was at least hundreds that came to that. And Sandy Patty was going to sing for it. And she called up Wes and said, I'm sorry, but I've got to go down to Nashville and record this song. And that song, I don't know how many million records were sold on that. And thank God, she was faithful unto God. She lost her husband and has another one, seemed to be happy now. But, you know, we go through a lot of trials in life. And I say it to some people, maybe you shouldn't say it in public to you, but let me just say it. I'll be brave enough to say it. And that is, in my church, whenever I had a Roman Catholic, former Roman Catholic, or somebody that had been through divorce, they were the best people in the church. Because they've gone through things that we don't even know what is. I've had a happily married, at least in my side, for 59 years in February. But they're wonderful because Roman Catholics have been taught how to be faithful and how to listen to the priest and these things. Well, we're not going to get into that tonight. God will take care of you. God will touch you and bless you and use you if you'll let him do it. We just have trouble trusting him, don't we? In this shaky old world, there are a lot of things we can't trust. But we can trust Jesus Christ. We can trust God about our body. We can trust God about our family. We can trust God about our witnessing. We can trust God about our future. We can trust God for our church here. Amen. That'll double or whatever God's will is. Maybe we want to go down a little bit before we go up. Who knows? But we're going to trust God, aren't we? Trusting God in helping us to be a winner of souls.